were a people of whom Julius Caesar once said, they are fickle, they are fond of change, and they are not to be trusted. People in the area of Galatia were originally from Gaul, which is present-day France. The Galatians had migrated south, settling in a region which would be modern-day Turkey. So Galatia is not a city. This is a letter that was not written to a specific church, to a city, like the book of Corinthians was written to the church in Corinth and so forth. But this was written to an area, all right, not to a city, but a region. And Paul, if you remember in the book of Acts, had experienced firsthand the fickleness of these people when after he had healed a lame man, the Galatians bowed before him, worshipped him as a god. They worshipped him as Jupiter, you know, their god, and that was in the morning. In the evening of the same day, these same people picked up stones and stoned him and left him laying on the road, you know, believing him to be dead. Too tough to die. Paul continued teaching the good news of the gospel of grace. And nowhere more clearly is the gospel of grace, the good news of Jesus Christ, set forth more clearly than it is in the book of Galatians. And it's a letter to the people who once tried to kill him. I think that's rather interesting. Incredible, incredible truth. We'll see how far we go tonight. If we get part of chapter 1, all of chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, 4. No, we won't go that far. But we'll just see where we go. And incredible, you know, just really pray and ask the Lord to open up your mind, your understanding, because this is an incredible, incredible book. All right? This was the book that Martin Luther, they called this Luther's book, because this is the one that he read and said, wait a minute, this is contrary to what we're learning and what we hear and what religion is all about. And justification by faith. Good stuff in here. Pick it up. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So this is saying that Paul was not, he's not doing what he's doing because somebody chose him. He's not doing what he's doing because a church sent him out. He's not doing what he's doing because he decided one day that he wanted to be a pastor or a missionary. He's not doing what he's doing because a board of elders ordained him one day. He's saying, I am an apostle by the very purpose of God. Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead, is the one who has ordained me as an apostle. And all the guys that are with me, all the brethren which are with me, unto the churches, again, that whole region of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father. Paul would often use this greeting. Half of this greeting was a formal Jewish greeting. The other half was a Greek greeting. But he put the two together. And you notice he never says, and peace and grace. He always says, grace and peace be unto you. The reason for that is you will never experience peace until you grasp hold of grace. Until you understand that you're not saved by ritual, you're not saved by performance, you're not saved by keeping the law, you're not saved by getting up early and having devotions, you're not saved by memorizing scripture, you're not saved by, you know, going to Bible study 7 nights a week, you're not saved by any of these things. You're saved because Jesus Christ paid the price for you, period. Saved by grace. When you understand grace and you begin to allow grace to grab hold of you, then you have peace. So the grace and the peace, grace always comes first. When I know God's in control, when I know I'm okay, not based upon, and all of those things I just mentioned are wonderful. All of those things are great to do, but they have nothing to do with you being saved or not. All right? And from our Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that made it all possible, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. this present evil world. The Jews at this time, their present circumstance, they just considered the present evil world, and it would become good when they were... take your guitar with you, okay? That's when they were released from the bondage they were in, then it would be good. But the present evil world was always, at that time, the bondage that they were in. But, you know, we live in an evil world now, and he's delivered us from that according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. You know, I just, amen. You know, I think as Paul begins to write this letter, and he just begins to say a couple of things, all of a sudden he's talked about the grace. He's talked about, you know, the resurrection. He's talked about, you know, he was raised from, who the Father raised from the dead. He's talked about, you know, the cross. He's talked about all these things. And he just has to almost stop and just, to whom be glory forever and ever. Just, he couldn't help but praise God at this point, just because he's understanding what it's all about, what grace is all about, and what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. And he was just overwhelmed. I marvel. He says, I am amazed. I marvel. I'm in wonder that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ. In other words, you're removed from the things of God. You're removed from what the Holy Spirit has done in your life. You're removed from, amazed, you know, he called you into this, into the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some who trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, it's not another gospel because there is no other good news. Okay, he says, you know, you're in another gospel, and all of a sudden he realizes there's not another gospel. There's only one gospel. There's only one good news, and that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. So he says, but people have come in not with a new thing, but they've come in trying to pervert the gospel. Same thing is happening today. What man tries to do is pervert the gospel. You know, add a little bit, take a little bit away from it. You know, pervert it just enough where it's no longer valid for salvation. You know, Jesus must be who he said he was. So he said, I am amazed, you know, that you would walk away, and he's amazed because the gospel that they were preaching, or, you know, the way they were perverting the gospel, they were saying, okay, Jesus is cool, Jesus is fine, you received him, that's good. However, these were the Judaizers, however, that's not enough. What you need to do now is you need to partake of all of the, go back and fulfill the law, do the law, accept Jesus, but you also need to walk in the law. You need to keep everything that, you know, the old covenant required for you to keep. Primarily, circumcision. All right? Because I thought it was very interesting when it says, there were some who trouble you. That word trouble is the same word used in Matthew when they were in the ship on the Sea of Galilee, and they were going to the other side, and they were, it said they were troubled, they were getting seasick, all right? This is the same word, it's only two places it's used, and it's the same word, and I kind of had to giggle at that. You know, they're getting a little, you know, seasick. Don't you get a little woozy? They're getting a little woozy because these guys are telling them they have to be circumcised. I get a little woozy too, okay? So they're troubling you. That would trouble me if we came along, okay, you got to do this to be okay. So I think that's what's going on here, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, Paul and his guys, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. What was the gospel? Jesus Christ and him crucified, period. Let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again. Evidently there was I don't think he's just repeating it himself here. Evidently there was another time that he had said the same thing to them. So they are, you know, they are so guilty here because they've already been warned. He said, I've said this before, but I say it again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed or eternally damned. Let him be accursed, separated from God forever. If anybody, you know, perverts this gospel. Interesting story over in 1 Kings. Why don't you turn over to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. prophet by the name of Jeroboam has just done some incredible things, been blessed of the Lord. Pick it up at verse 11. Look at this story. It says, "Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel." We won't take time to go through that, but did some incredible things. "Then they told also to their father," told them also to their father. "And their father said unto them," this is an old prophet, "where'd he go? Which way did he go? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and he went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with you, nor go in with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, you shall eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that you came. And he said unto him, I'm a prophet also, just as you are. And an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, as they sat at the table, at the word of the Lord came unto the prophet who brought him back." This is the old prophet. "And he cried unto the man of God who came from Judah, Jeroboam, saying, thus saith the Lord, for as much as you have disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but came back and have eaten bread and drunk water in this place, of the which the Lord did say to you, eat no bread, drink no water, your carcass shall not come unto the sepulcher of your fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he saddled up on the donkey to wit for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass." And as I was, you know, reading here in Galatians, I remembered this story, and I remembered that, guys, when God tells you to do something, when the Word of God reveals truth to you, be very, very, very careful to walk in that truth. Be very, very, very careful not to be ripped off by some false doctrine. Be very careful not to be ripped off by some cutesy thing or something that somebody's saying that's contrary to the Word of God. You know, this prophet, you know, was slain by God because he had disobeyed. And another prophet said, you know, the Lord told me, I was spoken to it. If anybody comes to you, whether it be an angel or anybody else, and preaches another gospel besides the gospel of grace, the gospel of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them be accursed. You reject that. Don't look for the cutest thing coming down the pike today, or the thing that tickles ears and all of those things. You know, I was listening to news program the other day, and they were interviewing a very famous pastor, you know, and I'm not, you know, don't need to name names, I'll just give you his initials, Joel Osteen, okay? And the things that he was saying as they interviewed him was absolutely incredible. You know, that God's desire is that every one of his children would be blessed, wealthy, have everything they want, not lack anything. And I'm going, we live in a day when prophecy is being fulfilled this fast, man. I mean, it's incredible. You know, in these last days, people are going to be heaping unto themselves teachers that will say things they want to hear. One of the basic motivations of man is greed. All right, we're really motivated by greed. And when somebody tells you that God has said that all you need to do is this and you can have anything you want, just speak it or whatever, and if it doesn't happen, it's because you don't have enough faith and all of these things, it is such a fulfillment of the prophecy that they will heap unto themselves teachers that say what they want to hear. And we all like to be stroked. We want to hear, I'm okay, you're okay, and God loves everybody, you know. But that isn't what the Word of God says. So you need to be very, very, very careful. You need to keep your eyes in the newspaper and in the Word right now. So volatile right now in the Middle East, it's incredible, man. Incredible. And would not surprise me if just at any moment, you know, Israel does what they're threatening to do. And if they do that, then major players get in it. And you can read the major players over here in Ezekiel and so forth. And it's just unfolding so rapidly. These are not the days to play games. These are not the days to become lukewarm. These are not the days not to totally commit to Jesus Christ. Because if you don't, man, you can be so deceived. Because the enemy just so wants to deceive, you know, and he just, that's his desire to deceive all of us. For do I now persuade men or God? Verse 10. And basically what he's saying is, am I preaching God's doctrine or man's doctrine? Or do I seek to please men? This is what false apostles do. Those that came in, you know, they were trying to please men. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. There is no way, absolutely no way, to please men and please God at the same time. It is absolutely impossible. I've tried it, been there, done that. About drove myself crazy. You know, but you can't do that. You cannot please men and God at the same time. You must totally please God. Wherever that takes you, whatever that means. You know, we all want people to like us, don't we? We all want to be popular. We all want people to appreciate us and to stroke us and to like us. But if you're going to be obedient to God and walk according to His Word, you're not going to please everybody. And you might as well get used to that, all right? Because it just isn't going to happen. But I certify you, brethren, I want to tell you, this is what he's saying, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation is a mighty act by the Spirit of God that reveals something to you that you could not understand unless it was revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? Paul is saying, I didn't learn what I learned by the other apostles. And we're going to talk about it. He goes on. He said, I didn't learn it from them. I wasn't taught by some man. I'm not speaking things now that I learned in a seminary somewhere. I'm not speaking things that I learned anywhere else. The things that I'm telling you, the things that I've spoke, the things that I preach, was a revelation directly from God Himself. And you know what? When God brings revelation, when God brings a revelation to you, there is nothing, no way on this planet that can be taken away from you. When all of a sudden you know that I know that I know because God showed me, there's not a person on this planet that can take it away from me. I know who Jesus is. I know the resurrection is real. I know because His Spirit has borne witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. Nobody can ever take that away from me. The brightest minds on the face of this planet could take me in a room and talk to me for days, man, and you're not going to take that away from me because it's been revealed to me by the Spirit of God. And Paul is saying, the things that I preach have been revealed by God. I know these things by revelation, not just because I learned them from a book somewhere, but it's been revealed to me by God, by Jesus Christ. For you have heard of the way that I've lived in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I wasted it. What's he talking about? Go over to Acts chapter 9 real quick. Acts chapter 9. Just the first couple of verses there. And Saul, this is Paul, same guy that's writing the letter we're reading, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, in other words, believers, that was one of the descriptions of the early church. They were of the way. Whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And his ultimate goal was to have them you know, ultimately killed for their belief, because he really believed at that time that he was doing God a favor. He really believed that this new sect of these followers of Jesus Christ basically were undermining Judaism and destroying the Jews' religion. So he wanted to weed them out the best he could. So he's saying here, you know, you've heard about this. You know that I was a Jew of the Jews. You know that I kept everything. You know that I observed everything. You know that I was so into it that I followed after Christians to have them arrested and brought back to Jerusalem so that they could be tried and ultimately crucified like Jesus was. But, well, look at verse 14. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. In other words, he had a zeal from the time he was a child, man, for the Jewish religion. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. I love this. He said, God called me and put his hand on me before I was ever born. Do you understand that God is not surprised by anything? Do you know that, you know, the Bible tells us that, you know, in the book of Psalms that, you know, that he forms us. He knew us even in our mother's womb. I love that, man. He wasn't surprised when one day I fell on my face and cried out in despair and said, Jesus, save a wretch like me. He wasn't surprised. He'd been working on me from before I was born. He'd been working on you before. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, I want to tell you, he is so after you because he loves you, man. He wants to pour his grace into your life. He wants to pour his mercy into your life. What in the world do we run from? He doesn't want to take anything from us except a little guilt, you know, a little sin, a little hurt, a little pain, and he wants to give us eternal life. He wants to give us hope. He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us all of these incredible things. Why are we so stupid and run from him, man? But he's been after you before you were ever born, man. And I'm telling you, he's going to get you. Because that's why you're here, man. Okay. Separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Called Paul, not because Paul had any merit, not because Paul was anything special, but he called him by his grace. I love that. I'm here tonight because of the grace of God. You're a believer tonight because of the grace of God. You're secure tonight because of the grace of God. To reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, the Gentiles, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. In other words, his commission to go to the Gentiles with the gospel was not from man. All right? It came directly from God. And then he says not only that, but it was not even affected by any human intervention. He said, I didn't, when I knew God had called me and I knew what I was supposed to do, I didn't run to men and say, okay, ordain me and give me the credibility to go out and preach. He said, I didn't even confer with any men about that. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which are apostles before me. In other words, I didn't go to the original guys, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. He went to the desert. You may be in a dry place tonight. You may be in a hurting place. You may be in a place tonight where you're distraught and you don't know what's going on. I'm telling you, those times are very often necessary for God to work a work in us where he can use us. It was necessary for Paul to go to Arabia, to the desert place, spend a period of time there, so that God could transform him into the man that he needed to be so he could use him. And you just might be going through some stuff tonight. You might find yourself, you know, feeling you're farther from God than you've ever been. maybe you're more frustrated, maybe things are falling apart. I'm telling you, seize that opportunity to fall on your face before God and say, God, I don't know what's going on, but I surrender and I trust you because you promised you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You promised. Be confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you is able to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He started. What's going on in your life? You didn't start. You didn't initiate. You did not one day just say, you know what? I think, get up one morning and say, you know, I think I'm going to be a Christian. The Holy Spirit drew you, revealed to you truth, convicted you of your sin, revealed Jesus to you, and by an act of your own will, you responded to that and received Jesus. So you can trust him. You can trust him where you are right now. You can trust him in your desert place. I've been trusting him in the desert for almost 40 years now. And I read 40 years in the desert. You know, another guy spent 40 years, and after that, he got out of there. Ended up in the wilderness. I don't know what that means. So I'm ready in a short period of time to get out of the desert. No, this is a great place. Huh? Okay. So if you're there, just relax. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Evidently, when he was with Peter, it doesn't say he saw the other guys. He was with Peter. He evidently shared with Peter his revelation of the cross. That's what he said. I had by revelation, I know this is what's happening. So he probably shared with Peter, you know, Peter, this is what I saw. This is what Jesus showed me. But did he do it immediately? 3 years later. 3 years. As the Holy Spirit is training and teaching and preparing. And at the end of that time, then he goes to Peter. Man, we have a vision. We want everybody in the world to know it immediately, do we not? We want to go on television. We want to go on the circuit. Write the book. You know. But man, he waited. And then he went and he saw Peter. Talked to Peter. And abode with him 15 days. But out of the apostles, I didn't see any of them. Well, except James, the Lord's brother. And James never referred to himself as an apostle, but Paul did. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. If he had been the original ones, they would have known him in Judea. But they had only heard. We're constantly hearing that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed. So they'd heard about Paul. They'd heard that this one who had persecuted the church, gone after the church, was now preaching faith in Christ and talking about the Christ. And they glorified me in God. As he had always constantly persecuted, now was constantly preaching, they were constantly glorifying. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, this is probably the Jerusalem Council he's talking about. I really believe that. There's some discussion on that, the one that's talked about in Acts chapter 15. And he says, I took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation. Again, the Lord told him to go. The reason I'm still here after this many years, and I can't tell you how many times I wanted to leave. How many times the pains were so deep. The disappointments were so prevalent. The hurts were so real. How many times I just wanted to run. How many times I would go home and say, okay, hon, let's pack. Let's get out of here. Let's just shake the dust off of our feet. Yeah, I've had other offers. Pastor other places. Teaching colleges over the years, all of these things. And the only reason I've never left is because many years ago, God gave me a revelation that I'm the pastor here in this church. He's never changed that. He's never changed that calling. And I'm here because I know that God placed me here. And when you know God's placed you there, there's nothing that's going to cause you to move. That's, again, I'm talking about Revelation, where it was revealed in many, many ways that this is where God had called us. And He's never changed that calling. He's never said, okay, come follow me. He says, stay. Be obedient. And until He changes that, you know, we're here. So Paul said, you know, it's by revelation, man. I went up by revelation. The Lord told him to go. And when you know, if God calls you to do something and you know that you know that you know that God has called you to do it, man, go for it. Go for it. No matter what obstacles are in your way, no matter, you know, what's going on, if you know that God has shown you to do something, and it's just not something that, you know, don't just use this to say, well, I've always wanted to do this. I'm now going to say that God told me to do it, you know. But you know that you know that God has revealed that to you, man. Keep your eyes on Him, and He won't let you down. So Paul is saying, by revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Okay, what was his message? The cross. But privately to them which were of reputation, probably at least some of the original apostles, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. In other words, if any of these guys would have repudiated the message, at least as far as the Gentiles were concerned, this would create an insurmountable barrier for Paul. So he said, you know, I had to do this. But neither Titus, who was with me, he was a Gentile, was compelled to be circumcised. Paul probably, he's a good buddy, Paul probably took Titus with him as a test case. You know, hey bro, love you. Want to go with me? Okay. So he's probably there as a test case. All right. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, suggests that there was some of the other, you know, guys, that they were insistent upon the necessity of the law. If I think what they were saying was, if you weren't attempting to keep the law also, you were denying Christ. And, you know, so he who came in subtly to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. The truth of the gospel was at stake here. That they might bring us into bondage. You know what I have found always brings bondage? When you forsake the cross. I learned a long time ago that I must live at the cross. Everything I do, I must come back to the cross. I must live at the cross. I must come back to that point. That's constant. That must be what I preach. It must be what I teach. It must be what I talk about. That must be where I live. Because when I move from the cross and start trying to do my own thing, and I've done this many times, man. Start trying to do my own thing or accomplish my own thing or whatever, that's where I find myself getting in bondage. I'm getting in bondage to legalistic things. I got to do this, I got to do that, got to do the other thing. You mean, you said earlier that all of those things don't save us. Are you saying that, you know, you're saying that reading the Word doesn't save us and doing devotions in the morning, you know, I don't have to do devotions in the morning? That's the beauty of being a believer. You don't have to do devotions in the morning. You get to do devotions in the morning, okay? You get to get up and commune with the God of this universe. I mean, that's a have to, huh? You get to do that. You get to hang out with God. You get to listen to Him share with you and give you direction and cover you and pour peace into your life. Well, so do I have to pray so many hours a day? No, you don't have to pray at all if you don't want to. But that's pretty stupid. Because you're talking to the One who holds everything together. You're talking to the beginning, the end, the Alpha, the Omega. You're talking to the God of this universe. What do you mean, do you have to pray? You get to communicate with this God. And you get to tell Him, I hurt. You get to hear Him say, I know. And I care. And I'll take care of it. Isn't that cool? You get to do that. oh man, do I have to go to Bible study in the middle of the week? I mean, it was 197 degrees a day or whatever. You know, I went on Sunday and it was cool. It was all right. You know, but, and then I've gone to midweek. Do you have to go to Bible? No, you don't have to go to Bible. You get to. You get to gather with a bunch of believers and open up God's Word and hear Him talk to you. And hear His love letter explained. And you can hear, you know, we've heard tonight about God's grace. We've heard about His mercy. We've heard about His love. We've heard about His caring for us. I mean, that's pretty incredible, is it not? If you wanted to stay home and watch Fox News, you could do that if you want to. But you're going to be all depressed by the end of the night. Okay? And you're going to be all confused with everybody yelling at everybody and arguing all the time. And that's cool. But I'm telling you, it's much better to hear what Jesus is saying, is it not? Yeah. So do you have to? No. But if you don't, you're not, you're a taco short of a combination plate, man. I don't, that, okay. I got so into that, I don't even know where I am. Verse 4, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought it in, who came in subtly to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. In other words, they were, look at these, they have liberty. What's going on there? We're in bondage. How come they're so free? How come they're so happy? Must be something wrong with them. All right. That they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour. He wouldn't compromise at all. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. The whole thing going on here is justification by faith is on trial. Paul's not about to compromise. I'm so glad. But of these, all these false teachers, who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it makes no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. There was nothing that anyone there could add, again, to this revelation that Jesus Christ had given to Paul as it regards death, burial, resurrection. Saying everything, nobody can add to the revelation I got about what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross for me. I was in a conversation today with a brother from the church. And he was talking about something that he'd been reading and was kind of getting into. And I said, you know, man, that's okay. If what you're getting into and studying leads you to the cross. But if that becomes the focal point of my past, okay, how I was raised, what I went through dictates how I now live. And we are all products of our past, okay? But the truth of the reality is it's how we react to that as believers, okay? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Any man be in Christ Jesus, he is what? A new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. You know, but I said as long as, because it was beginning to look like that was becoming an emphasis maybe for some people, maybe not for him, but others that he's involved with. And I said, man, don't be involved in anything that doesn't lead you to the cross. Because it's at the cross, it's at the feet of Jesus where we find healing. It's at the feet of Jesus that we find wholeness. It's dwelling in His presence and what He's accomplished for us that we find the security that we need. It's not in, you know, we can get so distracted. And again, I mean, I'm... Last week we went to a pastor's meeting here in the desert. By the way, there's going to be a major outreach out here in 2010, April of 2010. We're going to have what's called a Festival of Life with Mike McIntosh, and all the churches in the valley are involved with it. And it's going to take us a year to put it together. You guys will be involved. There's going to be many outreaches all over and concerts all over, and then it'll end with three nights crusade at the Tennis Center. And anyway, it's going to be an incredible thing, all that's going on. And so I just kind of want to whet your appetite on that, all right? Because we're going to be involved with that, so stay tuned. It's going to be a good thing. Because we decided, as all the churches, that we decided that not any one of us individually can fulfill the Great Commission. Just can't do it. But collectively, we can be obedient to what God has called us to do in this desert. Yeah. So anyway, I'm there. And I look around, and I'm having so many of them come to me saying, "You're still pastoring? You're still around?" One of them called me the Ancient of Days. Then we had a healing service for that man. But I looked around and realized that longevity... I'm the oldest pastor. I've been pastoring longer than anybody in the desert. And age-wise, I'm oldest in the desert. So I said all that to say this, that I've been around long enough to know that there's nothing new under the sun. And the enemy will do everything he can to get us focused away from Jesus. To get us focused on anything else. And we need to be very, very, very careful of that. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, the Greeks, the Gentiles, was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. So, I have the message to the Greeks and the Gentiles. Peter has it to the Jews. Kind of destroys the concept that Peter was the first pope, doesn't it? Because he didn't even have the ministry to the Gentiles. It was to the Jews. For he who wrought effectively in Peter the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Jesus' brother, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, that's what he preached, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. So they said, okay, we understand and we're with you. That we should go unto the heathen, that's the Gentiles, and they should go to the Jews. Only they would that we should remember the poor. I think that's funny. Where was the poor? We've been talking about in Corinthians. Poor was in Jerusalem. So it Peter is saying to Paul, send money back to my home churches here, all right? That's basically what he's saying. The church that he was ministering to, they were poor. Don't forget us. The same which I also was forward to do. So Paul had already saw the need, and he was going to do that anyway. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to blame. So in other words, when Peter came to Antioch, Paul got in his face. You know, and because Peter had opposed and reproved him, but and so Paul said, I confronted him face to face because he was basically leaving the cross, going back to the law, resorting to the law. For before that certain came from James, he, Peter, did eat with the Gentiles. So Peter knew the gospel of grace. He ate with the Gentiles before some people came from Jerusalem, from James, means from Jerusalem. But when they were come, those from James and Jerusalem, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. So the problem was, Peter had some man fear here. All right? Some of the Jewish Christians were still trying to hold to the law of Moses, which means, I said it earlier, they were accepted Jesus as the Messiah. Okay, no problem. But then they didn't give a lot of credibility to the cross. So this ultimately gave Paul, this is when Paul really wrote the epistle to the Hebrews. It was for that reason. Okay, same thing. All right? And the other Jews, verse 13, those were the ones in Antioch, dissemble likewise with him, that's Peter, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, in other words, they were just not there. I went to Peter and I said, if you, being a Jew, live after the manner of the Gentiles and not do as the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? In other words, this is hypocrisy, sir. Because when your buddies weren't here, you weren't saying the same thing. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, they only know what they know because we've told them, but we've known it all of our lives, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, that's totally impossible, but by the faith of Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So in other words, it cannot be done. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, by, you know, totally trusting in what he accomplished for us, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? So in other words, if Jesus is, you know, the reason that we sin, blame for our failure, then, you know, he's guilty. But he says, no, God forbid. He's saying what Jesus did has not failed. The cross did not fail. He's saying we are the ones who have failed. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, that's back to the law, I make myself a transgressor. In other words, to revert to any type of law in his departure from God's order. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now, this can only be done through the power of Jesus Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, I have life, yet not I, not by my own strength, but Christ lives in me because of what he's done. And the life which I now live in the flesh, my walk before God, I live by the faith of the Son of God, what Jesus has done for me. Again, that's what I'm saying. We keep our eyes on Jesus and the cross. So that needs to be the object of my faith. Who loved me and he gave himself for me, which is the only way I could be saved, Paul was saying. He loved me and he died in my place. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If I can successfully live for the Lord by any other means than faith in Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, then what Paul is saying, what Jesus Christ did on the cross was in vain. If I can find any other way, Jesus established a whole new way. And it's the church. You know, I have a problem with ex-addicts for Christ. Ex-gays for Christ. You know, ex-whatever for Christ. Because it's not a matter of where we were, it's where we are. Jesus created something new for us. And it's his family. The family of God. Brothers and sisters, where we can dwell and find hope, peace, and encouragement in one another. That's what the body of Christ is all about. So we all become new. And that's why we can all have our diversity of history. We can all have such a variety of backgrounds. We can all come from different elements and areas of life and continue to just be one because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. So I guess my message to you tonight out of Galatians 1 and 2 is don't lose sight of Jesus. Don't move from the cross. Don't listen to another gospel. even if an angel were come. Angel Moroni told Joseph Smith, put on these glasses. As you read through these glasses, you'll read a new gospel. Whoa, didn't Paul say, if even an angel would come and preach any other gospel, let him be accursed? Isn't that enough right there? When the angel said to Joseph Smith, I'll show you, you'll see another gospel, a new gospel, the gospel for this age. I want to tell you, the gospel for this age is the same as the gospel from the beginning. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father, Jesus said, except through me. And the message has not changed. We need to get back to the simple truth. We need to be sharing the gospel any place we can, man. Because there's not a whole lot of time left. I believe that with my whole heart. I just wait for the next thing to happen. Where the wars have started. We've got an insane man in North Korea that's daring everybody to do something. The peace treaty in 1953 says it's no longer valid. He just decided that. So watch what I can do with these missiles. Watch what I can do with our nuclear weapons. Watch that dare to do anything about it. There's a lot of players in this. I don't want to get into it tonight, but there's a lot of players. I'm just trying to tell you that get your eyes back on Jesus. Come on home, man. Get back to the simple gospel. We need to be telling people. We need to get back. Used to be our phrase. We need to get back there. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Isn't that what Maranatha means? Doesn't Maranatha mean the Lord cometh? You know, we need to get back to that. We used to have bumper stickers years ago. The Lord is coming. He didn't. He's a lot closer now than when we put those bumper stickers on. Okay. But the Lord is coming. You need to be ready, my friend. Don't you just want to get caught when He comes doing your Father's business? You know, just reading, praying, sharing with somebody, talking to somebody about Jesus, sitting at the foot of the cross, you know, being busy about your Father. I mean, that'd be so cool. All of a sudden you're gone, your Bible's sitting there. I'll tell you what, that person's going to pick up that Bible and start reading it in a hurry. Okay. Not even going to pay any attention. Your notes are going to read what he said, man. Yeah. Oh, Jesus, we sure do love you. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. You are awesome. Lord, forgive me for so many times. Many times, even unknowingly, how I have left the impression with people that once they received you, that this is what they couldn't do anymore and this is what they could do. Oh, God, forgive me. Let us trust your grace. Oh, we want to disciple people and get them in your word, Lord, and get them on the right path and teach them what you want us to share. But Lord, let us not impose our rules on somebody else. The Calvary Chapel rules or whatever they would be, the bridge rules or whatever. God, help us to be so in love with you that it would be contagious. People would want to know you because of the joy and the peace and the lifestyles that we live. Now, Lord, I just ask you to take the words that we've spoke tonight and whatever was of you, help us never to forget. Whatever was of me, help us not to remember. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand, shall we? I'm kind of like Paul. That fifth verse. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Don't you just want to worship Him for who He is? Let's do that.